So, as you are walking through the fortified section of Blackgate, because it's not the whole city. Mm. They were just able to... Most of the city is either destroyed or fallen or is taken over. Brasslands has just been able to hold like a small section of it. Think like New York City has fallen, but Brasslands was able to hold the Bronx. Think of it like that.
Okay.
So they've fortified this one section, and as you're walking through the narrow streets of this rebel enclave, you see signs of life that some of you have only heard of, but never directly experienced. For lack of a better term, normal city life. There's a small marketplace where people are trading goods. It's getting toward the end of the night now, so a lot of these people are wrapping up for the evening. But you can see there's trades going on, and this is a world, this is a place where gold doesn't really have much value. So currency here is either trade or, like, favors. Like, hey, I need, you know, can you redo my floor for me and I'll give you, you know, 3 days worth of jerky. That kind of stuff. You see kids running around and you can immediately tell they have, like, fashioned these toy swords and shields out of, like, pieces of wood and sheets of tin metal. And they are playing a game called Dragons and Rebels. And you catch out of the corner of your eye immediately, Derek cuts left and goes to join them.
Aww.
It's like, I'll be the dragon!
He's adorable.
Yes, Melody?
How busy is this area? Like, will he get lost?
No, it's a small area. And you're getting a vibe, too, that everyone knows everyone else. So...
I want to, like... Okay, but come back inside after dinner, you know. Like.
Okay. He's frolicking.
He'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Brasslands and his team lead you through the streets and to a working tavern, which, again, this is something you have only read about. You've never been in an actual tavern.
I've never been in a tavern?
You've never been in a real tavern. You live in a world where taverns are not a thing. So you step into a tavern that is called Laughter's Chapel.
Laughter's Chapel?
As you
definitely sounds like
what is this
that
heavenly place?
Yes. Ashley runs to it like at the Emerald City. You're out of the woods, you're out of the dark, you're out of the
Everything is made of gold.
As you step inside, there's a harmonious symphony of clinking gears and hissing steam. Steam fills the air, and intricate machinery adorns the walls. There are little tracks, like metal tracks on the floor, which automaton servers are gliding across.
This is so cool.
Plates on gears, carrying plates filled with...
I feel like I'm in a different world.
Tankards, yeah, very much.
This is like...
They have...
I've died.
Food and drinks to the gathering people, and it is a pretty good crowd. There's a lot of people here.
So, Orchestrion's obviously really happy, but Evan is going, oh my god, it's a Japanese sushi place with the conveyor system. It's,
You see a long bar, and there's vats of various ales bubbling behind it. It's mostly ale and wine, a little bit of mead.
I'm going to go to Zarkon.
Okay.
Slap me in the face.
Okay. Smack.
Ah, that's how you like it, huh?
Orchestrion smiles.
Me, and I completely blush. But at the same time... No, I feel like I've died or I'm dreaming or something. This place is unreal.
There is a small stage in the front right corner. And currently, you see standing there is a firbolg. Sturdy, muscular frame. And he's got like earthy, mossy green skin. Long, flowing chestnut brown hair cascades down his back. And he's adorned with colorful ribbons and leaves. And sitting next to him on the stage, you see an animatronic drummer behind a small drum kit, just like this, poised over the drum. And the furball is like, so, what do you call a knight that loves to cook?
Wait, I can get this. I can figure this out. A knight that loves to cook.
It's a joke, sweetheart. You're
not... No, it's like a riddle. You have to solve the riddle.
No, it's not a riddle. It's a joke.
It's a riddle.
It's a joke. You just let the...
Let him. Let him.
No, he's asking me a question.
It's not a question. It's. Just let it. It's okay. I'll believe it when he says it. I'll believe you're right.
Thank you.
I apologize.
I was supposed to switch over to a different song when you guys hit the tavern.
This song is very like, we're gonna die in the tavern.
And I forgot. Anyway, so what do you call a knight that loves to cook? Sirloin. And the animatronic drummer. And back to his.
You totally got that. You had that, I believe.
It's a pun. It's a pun, right?
Yeah, that's what that type of joke is. A pun.
Ay, ay, ay.
Why did the royal jester always carry a quill? In case he had to draw someone's attention. And yeah, Orchestrion is just like.
They need better entertainment.
But you also see that the people here are enjoying the fact that this is a distraction of some sort.
Okay.
So they're all being very polite, and you know, he's getting polite applause. There's no rotten tomatoes or anything being thrown at him. They're all just kind of in the moment.
It's entertainment. Might not necessarily be good entertainment, but it's entertainment.
As you're walking through, Brasslands actually never stops moving. He's walking through the tavern the whole time. Like, he knows exactly where he's going. And it's like watching a great salesman work a room of clients. Because everyone is talking to him, and he's just like, oh, hello, how you doing? Oh, I'm glad to see that you're doing well with that thing. Oh, yeah, no problem. I took care of that for you. Oh, pleasure. Are you enjoying your meal? Like, he's just he never stops. Like, every single person. And it's just, like, very smooth working the room. And he at the end of this row of tables, he cuts left and goes to the end of a hall. And there's a small set of stairs that go up. And he's just, him and his team never stop. And if you don't follow, the last one up, which we'll say is the half-orc male with him in plate armor, will just turn and be like, this way.
I'll follow.
Yeah, we're going.
I want to get to the bar and get back with the group without being noticed.
Without being noticed? Yes. Make a stealth check.
I feel you can do this very well.
I like your chances. I
probably can. 13.
13. Passive perceptions.
Passive perception.
Passive perception 12. Okay. Malady, what's your passive?
10.
Why isn't that working?
No, you don't roll for it.
Oh.
I just need the number. Okay. But yeah, whenever I say passive, just give me the number. You don't have to roll anything.
I have no wisdom. That's why I didn't understand that it was a joke.
It's all good. actually, you succeed.
Okay.
So when you guys turn to make sure that Ashley's still with you and you're all going up together, Ashley has a tankard with him.
Two. Double fisting.
Ashley has two tankers with him, but you never saw him go to the bar.
29. As a waitress was passing by, I just sort of grabbed a champagne flute.
Oh, okay, sure. As one of the automatons. And you notice, too, like, that's not stealing. Nobody is really paying for anything here.
They wouldn't notice anyway.
Well, true, but it just seems like it's just very laissez-faire. Very just everyone, oh, you take what you want. You know, take what you want, but drink or eat what you take. So you go up this set of stairs, which leads to a small landing. There's a small, it's like the second floor where like the rooms would be in the tavern. You go up there and there's like this hallway with all the different like motel rooms set up. Brassland cuts left and he's walking down the landing, and there's the rail on your left hand side. As you all start, when you have to kind of go single file because it's small, one of the doors opens and a tabaxi girl starts running out to go down to the tavern. And as she goes past Brasslands, she stops and says, oh, thank you, Nevia. And the elf cleric kind of pats her on the head and says, oh, good, I'm glad your brother's doing better. And they just keep progressing. Brasslands goes to the end of this hall, makes a left, and then there's like a small set of like three stairs that go up to another landing, and a modest wooden door opens up into a suite. And he signals everyone inside. And it's a suite, but it's not extravagant. Like, it's, you know,
it has like an extra room next to the bedroom kind of thing.
Essentially. It's just like, yeah, essentially. And you all just kind of crowd in because there's, like, including Brasslands, there's 11 of you. And he introduces all of you to his server, Lionel. And there's an automaton colored in tuxedo coloring, just sort of standing in the corner. And when he says, Lionel, say hello, the automaton just sort of bends at the waist and just stands back up, like on gears.
Like bends in half and then...
Bends in half and then bends and then straightens back up. Well, make yourselves comfortable. I believe we all have a lot to talk about. I can arrange food and drink, anything you wish to be brought up to you. Are you all hungry? You clearly seem parched.
Are you like halfway done with the second tankard?
I didn't notice you get those, Ashley.
And Ashley just grins.
I would say Mallory is kind of looking around, like really excited that there's so many other clearly like soldiers and warriors and like people fighting the fight. Like she loves to see it, but she's also a little bit intimidated because she knows she's so tiny. So I think she's going to try to be hiding behind her team. Like she's going to try to like hang back and like kind of hide behind you.
There's actually 12 of you. I forgot. The people from Dendara who you met on the road separated and they were taken into like where they can get quartered and
but Ignis is there.
Ignis is with you. She Got stayed it. With you.
I'm probably hiding behind Zarkon.
Okay.
Not obviously, not like a little child, just kind of like hanging back.
So, Dendara has fallen.
That it has.
That is a problem. I don't know if my old friend here, and he gestures to Ignis, explained it to you, but the three rebel camps kind of worked in conjunction. The fact that there is three of us spread out across the country sort of forced the dragons to spread themselves thin. They had to focus their fight, their resources in three different spots. Now that one has fallen, there's only two left. Might be in our best interest to consider consolidating forces. Ignis? And Ignis just kind of... I was thinking the same thing, old friend. Well, you all been on the front lines, more so than a lot of the people I have here fighting for me. At that, the large human with the long blonde hair. Hey! Oh, it's... No, relax, Olivaro. I know you and your team have been doing very well. Anything from the roads that you think we should know here in Blackgate?
Helm Crater Fell. Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the name of it, totally, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we razed that place to the ground.
No shit.
You're welcome.
Well,
they were doing thank some, you. They were doing some real dark stuff there, and it was almost like ritualistic mass murder.
Oh, I've seen the intel. Yes, I've heard of Black. I've heard of Helm Crater.
With Helm Crater, it's like they had like all these jewels, where like they would put in a different configuration and different dragon breath would just be mass killing people. We found a lot of money. Jewels, gold, paintings.
There's a lot of people in this room.
What?
There's Mallory. There's a lot of people here.
That's for the cause, isn't it?
It is okay.
I
apologize.
Orchestrion, sir.
Orchestrion.
Orchestrion.
Okay, Orchestrion.
Just living on the road, as you can imagine, makes a person a bit paranoid.
Understandable. And I heard you refer to her as Mallory.
Yes.
And again, he just kind of stares at you for a moment.
Didn't I say that I was... He said that he wanted to talk to me. I did explain that I'm Pox's niece.
Oh, okay. We had that conversation?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. I haven't edited that episode yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We did have that conversation.
And we'll say Zarkon introduces himself. And you there, Mr. Thirsty.
I'm all out.
Lionel immediately
all
disappears
out?
Into like a closet and comes back out with a tankard.
Thank you. I like this guy. I'm Ashley.
Ashley, good to meet you. To most, I am Lord Brasslands. You can all call me Tinalec, which is what my mother named me. Ignis and I have been fighting the good fight for the better part of the last 3 decades. And Ignis just sitting there, arms crossed. Yes, old friend. Yes,
ma'am. The only reason I brought up the gold was because it's for the cause.
Oh, yes. Don't worry, Orchestrion. No one here is going to do anything out of sorts.
Understood. My lord.
Status reports, and he just kind of looks at his team. The female dwarf dressed very similar to you, Ashley. She's got like the leather armor, bow across like halfway across her torso. All is well from patrol. Haven't noticed any threats recently, but the kids are still complaining about the haunted house on the island. No one goes there for, and she looks around at all of you, for fear of the monster that lives there. Again, sir, I'm going to ask permission to go clear that out. And Brassland shifts in his seat as she begins mentioning it. Olena, I've said time and time again that it's innocent kids looking to entertain themselves with stories of the fanciful. Not worth wasting our resources on stories of ghosts and goblins. In the meantime, yes, Ashley?
Nothing.
Perception check?
What are you trying to perceive?
Is Brasslands pulling her leg on that?
Make an insight check.
Insight. 19.
Evan and I had the same thought.
He is very uncomfortable when she brings up the house, and it appears maybe not pulling your leg, but he perhaps knows more about it than he's willing to share.
Okay, fine.
I want to let this play out, but I have an idea. Go ahead.
The female tiefling who was with the other team, she kind of speaks up. You know, if you guys are all looking to be useful while you're here, we could always use help patrolling the outer city. The further off our walls we can keep any loyalists who get curious, the better. Sometimes we catch scouts, sometimes a war party, it gets a little froggy. Sometimes we hit them back if we see a tactical opportunity. I don't know if you guys are looking to do something, you can do that.
It's not necessarily that we're looking to do something, but we are looking to earn the beverages you've given us and the place that you're allowing us to take up. We do want to earn that place within your community, so we would be very happy to do so. When you're referring to the house, is there more to just the rumors that the children have said?
No, of course not. It's just silly rumors. It's an abandoned house right on, what did I call it in the map?
Arrowhead Lake.
Or is it the Arrowhead Sea? I think I call it the Arrowhead Sea.
Sure.
Right there on the bow off the banks, it's not worth wasting our time over.
Orchestrion looks at Malady, and I kind of like do a zip thing, and if she wants to talk to me, I don't know if you can.
What do you know that I don't know?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah. I say it in your, I cast message, and I say, what do you know that I don't know?
I know that we should let things play out and not push things right here. We're still guests, we're new, we need to earn your trust.
No,
Orchestrion would like to bring up. There's another thing that we found in our travels. There was a village. It was, let's just say, wiped out. I would say decimated, but that would imply there were survivors. I do believe we learned of, for lack of a better term, a kill team in the area. I think they're known as the Blood Brew. Are you familiar with them? Have you heard rumors?
I am. We've seen their handiwork. We've not been able to catch up with them as of yet. And they all kind of bluster, especially the half-orc and the human man. They each kind of like bluster when they hear about it. In a way that's like those sons of bitches. One day, if I get my hand, that kind of thing.
Do we know how big their team is?
The Blood Brew?
Yes.
With a natural 20, Brasslands would know. Our spy network has reported that there's 13 in total.
13.
Renyolt himself leads a team of 12, him being the 13th.
It's a small group, especially for the dragons. They'll probably be quick on their feet. That's probably why they're hard to catch.
From what I hear, he's a real bastard, this Renyolt.
You hear correctly.
From what we've seen.
Yeah, he is.
We can confirm that.
Well, in a way, let's hope he comes here.
I personally would rather like to ambush him and perhaps return to some of the favors he's owed.
That sounds like a wonderful plan. Let's see it come to fruition.
Can you tell us more about what's going on in the city here? Like, who would he report to, this Renwald?
Renyold?
Renyold.
From what I hear, he reports directly to Ashhart.
There's no, like, generals underneath Ashhart? It's just directly up to him?
Ashhart is the highest ranking. Aside from Goros, he is the highest ranking of the Chromatic Dragons. Each of the other four Chromatic Dragons, the five of them together are like the generals, and then everyone reports to one or the other. But yes, even though they're technically on equal playing ground, the other four dragons defer to Ashard.
From what I remember, this is not Malady, this is Victoria. Ashard is, like, literally his son.
He's Goros' right? son, yeah. Ashard the Merciless.
Like, I didn't need that in my life.
Well, our Orchestrion now would just sort of be really curious about, like, it's essentially housekeeping type stuff. Like, where can our team stay? What are our...
Oh, we'll have you quartered, no problem. There's spare rooms all throughout here. We can get you all set up. In the morning, have your morning meal, your morning rituals, your morning prayers. I can see a holy man. He's gestures to Zarkon. And then, find one of my team. We'll see how you can be useful if you wish to help. There's always reconnaissance, there's guard work, always plenty of things to be done around. Plenty of ways for you to be useful.
Fair enough.
We have a lot of ways we can be useful.
Excellent.
Do you have a library?
We have a small library, yes, where research is done, of course. Zarkon, because I remember Braz wanted to do this, would ask for a temple. Hmm. And, well, yes, we have, it's just one. We've sort of set it up to be kind of, multifaceted. But, yes, any...
How progressive of you.
Making do with the space that we have. But it would suit pretty much any holy man's needs.
That makes sense. It's like a library. Everybody can go.
So with that, if there's nothing else...
Ashley has been making liberal use of Lionel.
You good there, Ash?
Yeah.
You're gonna sleep well tonight, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, if there's nothing else, then with that, you'll be friendly dismissed. Everyone will leave except for Ignis. Her and her old friend have some catching up to do. As you're leaving, you catch out of the corner of your eye Brasslands pouring a fine wine for the two of them. And they just sit down to have a drink.
As everyone leaves and I see the two of them sitting together, I'm going to hold back just a second. Like, not close the door or anything.
Okay.
But, like, hold back for a second. And I want to go to Brasslands and say, you knew my aunt well, right?
Yes, I did.
Maybe tomorrow we could sit and you could tell me some stories of her. I would love to hear a lot more of who she is and what she was like.
I would enjoy that.
And then I'll just thank you for your time. No.
So we're walking back the way we came?
You're going, you're going to be back out of the room into that landing, mm-hmm. and then you're going to be escorted to rooms. They have enough to, you could each have your own.
Okay. So after I'm set up, I'm going right back down to the tavern.
Okay.
Is Mr. Chuckles still at the stage?
Yes, Chuckles is still on
the stage. Oh, wow, he's got a long set.
He's got a whole long set. Well, he's out of material, too. That's the problem.
So... he's still doing his thing?
He's still doing... It hasn't been that long. It's been maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Long set with those type of jokes.
He's trying.
I would go up to him and be like, is there like a tip jar?
No, because there's really no gold. So it's just sort of free-flowing. Very bohemian.
I'll roll for it if you want, but I take another drink.
Okay.
I probably don't even have to... bother, and I hand him a drink. Hey, buddy, would you like a drink?
Oh, thank you.
Here, why don't you take five? I was thinking maybe a little open mic stuff right now.
Oh, sure, by all means.
Okay, Orchestrion, by the way.
Orchestrion, pleasure to meet you. What did I name him?
Something punny.
Sorry, one second. I'm going to my,
You could just call him Chuckles.
I could just call him Chuckles.
It's his stage name.
That'll work for a furbolg. Oh. Brushbriar.
Oh, okay, Brushbriar. So.
Everyone, Orchestrion! And there's a significant round of applause.
Oh, wow.
As they were just happy for something different.
I guess my reputation precedes me, I say sarcastically.
Okay.
And at that point, I pull out my main lyre.
Okay.
Lyre banjo looking thing.
Okay.
And I'm like... You know, I just start playing. I would normally probably, like, put out a hat or something, but I could kind of already tell, it's like...
Yeah, you're getting a vibe. Gold doesn't mean anything here. No one uses it.
I'm like, well, if anybody wants to owe me any favors over these songs, you got my number. And I don't know, just, you know...
Make a performance check.
Performance check. First, I got a 22.
22. You are free birding the fuck.
Yes, I figured it, the last thing is like, well, anyway, here's Wonderwall, and I don't.
It's this sort of feeding off of each other's energy, as you sense immediately when you stepped on stage. The crowd is just frothing at the mouth to have new blood on stage. And you're, like, using that, and it fuels your performance, which is awesome, even by your own high standards. And the crowd is just enraptured by it, and it's just this sort of cycle of energy that when your set is done, it's like this euphoric moment throughout the tavern. You get a standing ovation.
Just for a little bit of flair while I'm, like, rocking out with my sleight of hand, I'm, like, randomly in the crowd going up to people. And even though it doesn't matter necessarily to them, like, for, like, five or six people, I, like, pull a piece of gold out of their nose or out of their pocket and I give it to them.
Awesome. Yeah. With a 22, I'll let you have it. And it is standing ovation. People are patting you on the back. This is a much-needed change of pace for them, and a much-appreciated distraction from the outside world. So, Orchestrion has done his duty in Laughter's Chapel for the evening. Anything from Ashley or Malady?
Ashley would just be down in the tavern having a good time.
Okay.
Cheering Orchestrion.
Okay. And Orchestrion puts on one hell of a performance.
Mm-hmm. Is there... I don't want to go into the tavern because it's freaking me out. So when I'm upstairs, I'm going to try to, like, make the bed and, like, try to, like, feel a little bit more comfortable.
Okay.
And then, like, dust or anything like that. And then can I find an automaton anywhere? Like in the hall or...
Yeah, I would say if you waited in the hall long enough, like, a cleaning crew, one would come by.
Yeah. I'm just looking for a... Hi, good morning, good evening, whatever, I don't know. I'm just looking for... Oh, you're freaking me out. Okay, I'm looking for a cup of tea.
Disappears. And like a minute or two later, comes back, silver platter, teapot, little thing of sugar, a little thing of... And just hands you the platter.
Thank you, this is lovely. Thank you. I'm never leaving. I just go inside and I put it down. I make my tea, I sit, and I just start. So, like, I think you were... I remember you telling me that, like, looking at the book, like, a different way and realizing that she was dyslexic.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, some of it was, like, written in, like, ancient, like, Elvish, right?
Yes.
So, I think what she's going to do is she's going... Like, what Malady's going to do is she's going to very carefully try to remove the binding from the book.
Okay.
And then take each page and lay it out on the bed. Flat.
You're dismantling the book.
I want to, like, slowly pull the binding out so that I can lay it flat and, like, actually look at the pages. Because I'm thinking if she was tricky, maybe she's really tricky.
Okay.
Ooh.
I'm
trying to see, like, a whole, like one big picture.
You said, like, what if I lay it out?
The binding off.
Yeah, like, what if I lay it out and, like, it, like, patterns meet up or some shit?
Well, this wasn't supposed to happen yet. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it. Okay. So we'll do that next. But first, before we do that wasn't supposed to happen yet.
Sorry.
Make an investigation check.
An investigation
check. Don't be sorry. It's D&D, baby.
Investigation check. Oof, please. 21.
21. As you lay them all out and look at the pages individually, you begin to see patterns.
Like visual patterns.
It's almost like I said, for lack of a better word, Pox was dyslexic, for lack of a better word. But it's almost as if she figured out a way to write where she used that handicap as a strength.
Mm.
And she almost used it to make her own code that you weren't able to see until you started rearranging the pages in a different order.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to see that your aunt was obsessed with the idea of death. Not in like a creepy, wants an army of zombies way, but just as an intellectual exercise.
Mm-hmm.
and there's codes in there that you can see in her handwriting. Now that you can see the writing this way, death was the ultimate expression of time. Death hides a secret that can only be learned if one was to experience it. And these are very stream of consciousness notes. You can see the word time, and then underlined underneath it, not linear. Then you see like musings, where she goes on for several paragraphs, but the gist is, the past is the past, the future is never set, but if the past was altered, it could affect the future, type thing.
We can change the past. You could musings. Theoretically.
These are musings.
Okay.
Now the thing that wasn't supposed to happen yet. As soon as you pull the binding off, on the inside front flap, an envelope falls out.
Okay.
A sealed envelope, and you're looking at it with the seal side up, and it's the red wax, and there's a thumbprint in the seal.
Okay.
And if you flip it over, written on the envelope is the word Rogar.
Okay. It looks like a letter to Rogar.
Whatever. Yeah, it feels like there's paper inside, like parchment. Like folded up parchment.
I'm gonna put it back.
You put it back?
I put it back.
Okay. There's no real way to put it back. You've separated the book.
Well, I'm gonna try to bind it back up together.
Okay, you can spend an hour or so.
Yeah.
Resecuring it to the binding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You don't open it. You just
put
it back.
I don't open it.
Okay.
And I'm gonna put it. And I'm gonna. Like, it's not for me, it's for Rover. That's it. Hold on.
History reminder about the lore of the world. Rogar did survive the Battle of Dragonthrone, but kind of went off the grid after that. Just letting you know.
Disappeared.
Yeah, he's been seen in and around Dragonthrone, but he hasn't been out and about the way Arya, Brasslands, and Ignis have.
Do I think that there's a way to deliver the letter?
If he's still alive, yeah. You think there could be a way to track him down? All stories, intel, everything has always been reported that he's been in or around Dragonthrone. He's just not really connected to the rebellion. He's kind of separated and gone underground or whatever.
Okay.
Gone to do the earth like Kane in Kung Fu, whatever it is.
We can continue with this night, but the next day I'm going to bring the letter to Brasslands then. I'll hold it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll wait.
Okay, well then, a night is had, a night's rest is had, and we'll say you reconvene in the morning. You already said you had two things you wanted to do, Malady.
I did.
You wanted to talk to Brasslands about your aunt.
The next day. Yeah.
And I guess it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Okay.
I'm gonna meet with him.
So, we'll say that you have your morning breakfast, your morning meal with him.
Okay.
And first give him the letter. We'll do that. So you give him the letter?
No. When I sit down with him... And I'll say, what you've created here is unbelievable.
Thank you.
I've literally never seen anything like this.
That's been the last 30 years of my legacy that I've been working on.
I absolutely love. I'm a tinker, too. I like to...
Are you?
I make and I pull out like a little tiny like frog. You know, like a little mechanical frog that can rivet. And I kind of take it out and I go... That's the extent of my tinkering.
that's cool.
That's about it. And I'll put the frog down and it'll be like one of those little plastic and I go, ribbit.
Oh, that never fails to make me giggle.
Yeah, but it's kind of embarrassing compared to all of this.
Oh, don't be embarrassed. You have your skill set and I have my skill set. Nothing to be embarrassed about. We complement each other.
That's literally how you speak.
I'm trying to do Evan just with a gravelly voice.
Okay, and I'll leave it out. Maybe I'll make a second one. It'll be a salt and pepper shaker.
Okay.
So, when I was a young girl, I found my aunt's book. It looked as though the spell book was returned back to my father, her brother, as the last remaining person. And when she passed, the book was given to my father, and then it was, my father didn't want anything to do with it, and he just kind of put it up in our attic. But when I was really young, I found the book, and I started reading it, and I read everything that she put in there, and I didn't understand 90% of it. But it really inspired me to join, to fight the way she fought and to join this battle and everything that she stood for.
Well, from what Ignis tells me, we're all better off that you did join.
Oh, well, that's very kind. It's all attributed to her in my mind.
And then he goes off and begins telling you some stories of things he remembers about her. He tells you...
Does he tell me about Rogar and her?
Yes.
And their relationship?
Yep. That Rogar was... Well, you would know... they're legendary figures. You would all know Rogar was the white dragonborn fighter who was part of Pox's group. Mm-hmm. And he says that they were the absolute best of friends. Mm-hmm. Rogar doted on her like no one else ever before. And it hit us all hard, but I think her death broke him. I mean, we all got hit hard from it. You never fully recover from seeing a friend fall.
Is he still in the world somewhere?
I've received no reports to tell me otherwise. I feel as though if he had died, been killed, or something, I would certainly know about it.
So recently, the more and more I've read the book, the spell book, and I actually have it with me, I always do, and I say, the recently reading this book, I figured, okay, I really needed to, like, pull it apart and dissect it and really look at it in a different way. And as I did, I found this, and I'll put the letter on the table. I don't want to give it to him. I'll put the letter on the table.
That's definitely her handwriting.
I don't want to open it.
And he examines it.
If he's out there in the world, I want to give him this. This is clearly from her to him, and I think it would be a breach of trust to open it. But I think...
I agree. Well, we know Dendara has fallen, and he's not in Blackgate. So the only other place he could be safely existing, the only other places he could be would be on a mountaintop somewhere, or somewhere in Dragonthrone. It's the only places where we are.
Do you have any belonging of him? Like something that he ever touched or wore? Because I could try to maybe scry for him in some way.
And he motions, and Lionel goes into almost like, actually, I will just say it, like a part of the wall opens up, and Lionel disappears into the shadows.
Okay.
And when Lionel comes back, he is holding a large maul.
Holy shit!
How about his old weapon?
I was thinking of something like itty bitty, like I put it in my pocket.
The maul is almost twice the size of you. You're gnome, right? Yeah, you're gnome.
Yeah, I'm a gnome. I'm tiny.
It's almost twice the size of you.
Yeah,
he wielded that son of a bitch.
Damn, how big was he? Or is he?
Large. He was a big boy. Let's say he ate his Wheaties.
Okay, I don't know if I'm really ready for this kind of spell right now. I don't even know if I can cast the spell. I really have to think about this for a second. Lionel, hold on to that, and I'll get back to you later when I'm ready.
And Lionel goes back into that secret compartment.
That was a lot of pressure right there.
Comes back.
Walking out with a maul.
Empty-handed, and the wall closes back up. I've kept a lot of... I hesitate to call them souvenirs, but... Yeah. Remembrances. Is that a word? It's a word now. It's my city. I'll make it a goddamn word if I want to.
And that's it. That's all I really want to tell him, but I want to hear more stories.
Oh, he'll tell you more stories. Yeah. He'll tell you stories he heard second-handedly before he joined up with that group.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, Pox, like... once created a big mess at a tavern and then, like, animated, like, assassins that tried to kill them. She animated them and used them to clean up the mess.
She created zombies that would, like...
clean up after her, yeah.
Clean up after her. It's very fascinating.
But anyway, you share a nice breakfast. Are you guys doing anything special in the morning?
I would wake up. I'd probably be in a really nice, good mood from last night. I'm assuming other people probably from the tavern stay here as well.
It's like
hotel inn.
And when you come down, like, the place is still half full. Okay. It's almost like Laughter's Chapel never closes.
Ooh. Man, I'm going to retire here.
Then you see, like, some of the vats of ale have sort of, like, slid on tracks, like, into the background, and now there's vats of, like, coffee and tea.
Okay. Breakfast time.
Breakfast time. Okay. A little bit of mead, maybe some port.
Okay, fair enough. Do I see Ashley? I'm coming down. I'm gonna, you know.
Yeah. I'm just having breakfast.
I'm like, I walk up to Ash and like, did you go to your room last night?
I think so.
Okay, I'll take that. How about some coffee?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. I don't know, if you're still drinking mead.
Fine.
Oh, you're completely fine. Okay. Yep.
Like, your tolerance is high enough. I'm not going to make you roll for that.
Damn. Okay. You can drink more than a dragonborn.
Be surprised.
So I just start having maybe a cup of tea, maybe a biscuit or something with Ashley here.
Okay.
And honestly, unless, Ashley, you got any thoughts about the last couple of hours, the last 24 hours, you know, we've been through a lot, brother.
I'm curious about this haunted house, but I agree that we don't want to push the issue.
Yeah, that one was, there's something there.
There's definitely something there. Otherwise, I guess we'll just see what kind of odd jobs they've got for us.
If we could get an odd job that would get us closer to the area of the house, maybe we can make an excuse to visit.
That's a thought.
Melody, I'll just say you come down from your meeting with Brasslands.
I was just about to say that I'm going to, before I leave Brasslands, I'm going to message Orchestron and just be like, where are you guys?
And I'll be like, continental breakfast.
Yep.
Continental breakfast.
We're in the tavern, Melody.
Continental breakfast. Continental. And she'll say it like repeatedly to herself. Continental. Continental breakfast.
So, we'll say you rejoined the group. For the sake of brevity, I'm going to say Zarkon finds a temple. And he just wants to spend a day like meditating. Because Braz actually did say he wanted Zarkon to do that. So, for the sake of brevity and the fact that we're dealing with, which I didn't even announce on the episode yet, we are Brazless this session. So, for the next X many episodes, you will not hear Braz's voice. He is feeling a little under the weather today and is not able to record. But, so for the sake of brevity, we're going to put Zarkon at the temple and he'll reconvene when Braz rejoins the group.
So, what is your plan?
Well, like you mentioned, Melody, in that little nanu-nanu thing you do in our head, that island that the children say is their monster?
Mm-hmm.
Brass Lens was obviously a little shaken up about that.
Yeah, right?
If we can get maybe some sort of job or something that would at least get us in the vicinity of that, maybe we can investigate and see what's up with that.
Yeah, like a patrol job.
Something to that effect.
Oh, yeah.
And then we can see... I mean, I can't imagine why someone would think, especially someone as smart as him, that monsters are not real. We live with a bunch of them all the time in this world.
Mm. Especially, and we just met ghosts.
Don't remind me about that!
Oh, lower your voice. Okay.
Yeah, that was kind of loud. Some people like, hmm?
Sorry.
I wasn't
enjoy your meal, everyone.
I'm just saying, if there's ghosts there, we'll be able to handle it.
Okay, we'll be good. We'll be good. I have sort of a meta question. Does Zarkon have any item that would be of use to us that he would have been willing to loan while he does his meditation? Because Orchestrion's friendly enough to him to at least ask.
Yes. I don't remember what's in... I don't remember what's in his inventory that he could give you. Let me go in here. Let me pull his character sheet.
The really only thing he has that he could hand over to us is a potion of greater healing.
Yeah, the rest of it is...
light.
It's like cleric stuff. Like the item I made for him, which you'll all get items eventually, don't worry. The spell guard shield, yeah. All he would really be able to give you would be a potion of greater healing.
Well, I'm sure he would loan that as a friendly gesture.
Sure, we could say he gave that to you guys. Call that his character sheet. I'll just tell him to delete it from his inventory.
Oh, I just wanted to stay.
Yeah. If we don't use it, we don't use it.
Right. I mean, he'd want us to use it if we needed it, so.
That's fair.
That's what potions are for.
Also fair.
I'm so happy I got to explain my backstory a little bit.
So you guys are looking for a patrol job that brings you within the vicinity of the haunted house.
Or at least one that we could fake it.
Okay. Yeah, like, you know, make an
play
excuse.
I don't know the city. I just completely got lost.
Okay. Then you would go find the tiefling, who's the one who had mentioned making yourselves useful.
Sure.
Okay. as you exit Laughter's Chapel, the city is now coming alive because it's the next morning, so shops are opening up, which they're not even really shops. They're all sort of like outdoor tents kind of thing that people are just setting up. And there's people that are not even selling or trading anything. They're just kind of walking around and just milling about and just enjoying the fact that they can do this freely here, at least in this part of the city. And there's sort of like an outdoor, not cafe, but there's like a stand where there's, it's like a baker who's like selling breads and different pastries. And there's a little table set up outside there. And sitting there, you see the tiefling woman. And sitting with her is Derek. And they're just kind of having morning tea together. And a little loaf of bread on the table in front of them. And Derek's back is to you, and you can see the tiefling. And she's just kind of like looking, she's smiling and kind of like laughs, and she sees you. Oh, yeah. What, you looking for something to do?
Yes, we are. We were wondering if maybe we could have some patrol duty, if there is any...
I look at Derek as he's saying that. Not you. Kidding you.
Oh, he's ready.
No, not you. Sit down.
No. It's okay.
You sure? I'll come. I'll come with you guys. And you see he's a little, like, conflicted.
No. Stay.
You sure that's okay?
Yeah.
Stay and have some fun.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind. You can stay there. That's fine with me. The tiefling says. And, all right, yeah, cool. All right, we were going to have a patrol setting up around the north side of the city. You guys can head that way. That's cool.
The north side of the city, is that kind of going toward the...
The north side. The north side.
Put his hand on my head, I'm sure.
The north side. Yeah. So that would be, we'd be going out in this direction. That's by the Arrowhead Lake?
Yeah, it's right, yeah. The sea's on the north side, yeah.
On the north side, okay.
Sure.
Granted.
Awesome.
We could patrol there, and we'll get back to you by day's end.
That's fine. You guys look like you know what you're doing. She gives you directions. It's that way. Yeah, you find anything, either chase it away or kill it.
Fair enough.
I like those suggestions.
Cool. You guys have fun.
Oh, she's a good one, Derek. You should keep her. And I walk away. Does she react to that?
Kind of just like... Cocks an eyebrow.
I get a little bombastic side eye.
All right, so you guys make your way out of the city, and...
As we're leaving, I'm making sure that Derek is not following us.
He is not.
Ooh.
At all.
Okay.
And then you head out per Pandora's directions on where you can safely exit the city unseen. And begin your patrol, which we will say, for the sake of brevity, maybe about an hour... You go around the back wall of the city, and you're on the northern side, and you reach the banks of the Arrowhead Sea. And you see the banks are not fully sand. It's like gravelly, kind of. Mm-hmm. And there's a large stone bridge that goes out, we'd say, a long ways. It looks like maybe 3 football fields.
Mm.
And at the end, you can see a tiny speck from where you are. Of an island with possibly a house on it. It's the only place that makes sense, that meets the description of what the kids were saying.